Teenagers are beautiful, complicated beings, and parents of teens know there can be challenges. Psychologist Lisa DeMore has dedicated her career to helping people this age.
What I really appreciate about teenagers is that they are heat-seeking missiles for dishonesty. They can smell it or detect it at 100 yards.
DeMore says all the complicated emotions teenagers experience are honest, and the pandemic intensified all of them. Fortunately, she says there are tools to work through the difficult moments. DeMore spoke with NPR's Rachel Martin about her new book, The Emotional Lives of Teenagers, Raising Connected, Capable, and Compassionate Adolescents.
In the couple of years that we've had to now try to recalibrate after the pandemic, what patterns did you see emerge in your patients? Let's take a 14-year-old who I care for, who had some anxieties about socializing prior to the pandemic, and then, of course, spent nearly a year and a half very cut off from social interactions. So now this young person is in a position where he can move back into the world. He can start to go to things, be invited to things, is getting invited to things that he wants to go to. But as the event approaches, whether it's a get-together with a friend or going to a game, he becomes very, very tense and very, very anxious about going. So the closer it gets, the more likely he becomes to say, okay, never mind, I'm just not going to go. When he does that, and this is what I worked with him on, two things happen at once. First, he instantly feels better. It actually does relieve his anxiety to decide not to go, right? As soon as he avoids, he feels instantly better. And we call that a reinforcing experience. You know, something that, you know, if you do it, you feel better, you want to do it again. The other problem is that whatever he imagined about how frightening that social activity was going to be goes completely unchallenged. Mm-hmm. And so his belief about how tense or anxiety-provoking a social situation could be remains completely as it was, mm-hmm. you know, without any new information.
Yeah.
So what we work on is just waiting in. And I'll work with him. I'll say, can you go to this thing for 20 minutes and see what it looks like? And if you really, you know, if you're having a hard time after 20 minutes, you know, maybe you could leave at that point. And then we work on building up his strategies for managing anxiety when it comes. But the goal around avoidance is always to help the young person, or actually really a person of any age, slowly find their way back in, because until they do, their anxiety will stay very high.
Hmm. The point of your book, as I took it, is not to tell parents and caregivers how to make intense emotions like anxiety, but also anger and sadness and loneliness, to not make those emotions go away. You're saying that powerful emotions for teenagers are a feature, not a bug. It's just something to be managed. Can you talk more about that?
You know, I think something happened. It was happening before the pandemic, and I feel like it deepened in the pandemic, where there came to be this cultural equation of, you know, you're mentally healthy if you feel good, or you know your kid's mentally healthy if your kid seems to feel good. Mm. And that's not how we've ever assessed this as researchers or clinicians. Mental health means having feelings that make sense in their context, and then managing those feelings well. Mm-hmm. So if you're a kid who maybe you had a day where you did really, really poorly on a test and you are quite upset about that, the presence of that distress is, first of all, probably unavoidable. And second of all, may even be useful in terms of changing behavior going forward, or right, giving the kid inspiration to maybe study harder for the next one. So we don't see the presence of distress in that circumstance as grounds for concern. And we even see it as sort of evidence that the teenager works exactly as we expect they would, that they become upset under upsetting conditions. What we focus on is how the emotion gets managed. And what I work through in the book are better and worse ways that kids manage emotions and how adults can support them in building a really adaptive and broad repertoire for managing distress. But you're exactly right. It's not about preventing distress in teenagers or making it go away quickly. We couldn't if we wanted to. The work of the adults around teenagers is to help them have adaptive and effective ways to handle upsetting feelings when they invariably arrive.
I love this line that you wrote in the book. Somewhere along the way, we became afraid of being unhappy. And that's just not just for teenagers. That's for all of us, all the people at all the stages of human development. This idea that we can't be in that place of great sadness, that to be mentally healthy, you have to sort of let all this stuff roll off and be this kind of enlightened soul who doesn't let emotions get the better of you. And it was reassuring to me anyway to read that it is okay, not only okay, but a sign of solid mental health to be able to engage in those darker spaces. It's just giving yourself and your kids the tools to climb out.
Absolutely. And I will say, we do have an adolescent mental health crisis. That is real. And that is getting a lot of much-deserved coverage. But I think that that has, in fact, exacerbated parents' anxieties about their kids' own distress. Because with all of those headlines that are telling a true story, I think a lot of parents are looking at their particular 15-year-old who is having a meltdown in their particular kitchen and thinking, how do I know this is normal adolescence and not a mental health concern?
Yeah.
And so my aim in working through this book was to really give parents and adults around teenagers a way to tease those apart. And usually the way to know is, if the feeling makes sense, that's a sign that things are moving in the right direction. And if the teenager handles it in ways that bring relief and do no harm, you can probably also feel reassured that you're looking at typical distress. Whereas if a teenager's feelings are way out of proportion to the event, or they handle the feelings in ways that are costly, such as smoking a lot of marijuana or being really hard on the people around them or getting online and stirring up all sorts of, you know, trouble over there, that's when we want to tune in and make sure that young person is getting all the support they deserve.
That's Lisa Damore speaking about her book, The Emotional Lives of Teenagers. She was in conversation with NPR's Rachel Martin.